Baltimore Positive at WNST.net. We are in State Fair. Life is great in the 21228. Having a little chicken cob salad today with mayoral candidate Mary Washington, Don Moeller, of course, riding shotgun. All of it brought to you by all of our great sponsors, including our friends up the street at Jennings. We'll be up there for a burger sometime soon, as well as back at Fadley's, where we have other mayoral candidates. I want to throw this your way, because this whole thing was sort of born out about a year and a half ago when Don was running Baltimore County after all of this years of friendship and Ravens games and family events and births and deaths and all sorts of things we've been through. And during the unrest, I looked out the window. My wife was between, I didn't know it at that point, two different leukemia battles. She had just survived. And, you know, I walked away from the window where I lived, Anna Harbor Court, watching the fireball in the sky on the east and all the mess on the west side. And the next day I talked about football and baseball and basketball and hockey, because it was black, it was white, it was police, it was politics, it was gangs, it was drugs, it was 50 years, 100 years of problems, right? Yes. So let all of that go. And then about 2 years ago, I went up to one of our former mayors, and I asked the wrong question. I did not have a good question. My question was, can it be fixed? I said, I would run for mayor if I could win and fix it. If I thought it could be fixed, what can it be fixed? And I thought, that's a really poor question. Later, I came to the grand conclusion, sociology expert, to say, could we make it better? Could we make it better today? Could we make it better tomorrow? Not fixing it, but if it were better every day for a day, a week, 100 days, 1,000 days, a year.
One day at a time.
4 years in a term. Could we make it better? And I know we can make it better. I don't know much, but I think that's an empowering question.
It is.
We could easily make this better.
Yes.
How much
and
better?
We're coming up for the 5-year anniversary.
Yeah.
We're coming up
on
the anniversary
make it better?
Of that. We make it better by investing in our people. We make it better by improving our transportation system, by making people be able to get to their jobs. We make it better by improving access to behavioral health, right? So there's such a stigma in many of our communities that if you need help, and so you have people that are self-medicating through drugs,
so
or they're
shame
engaging
in all of that, right?
So, but if we normalized it, if you had, there's the idea of having, taking the Chicago model and having these 9 investigative districts. You know, sure, more investigation is great. Is that means better policing, better results? Absolutely. But what we also should be doing is having on every 9 corners throughout the city, just walk-in behavioral health centers. Well, you don't have to make an appointment. You just come in. You feel like you want to talk to somebody. You need some help, and that you just walk in there, and then somebody can just get some help right now. We have too many barriers for people to get the help that they need. Also, from the top, the first thing we can do at the top is have ethical, honest, tough leadership that is leading the day. I mean, if we have leadership that are breaking the rules, then it's very difficult to come from this high place or this moral high ground to really say, hey, we're going to transform things.
We're not going to talk about the president today, but I just wanted to wedge that in. We're just going to bump over that and keep going.
Yeah.
But I mean, along all is, Don and I used to get into hardcore matches when I would go on the radio, and I've been on the radio 30 years, and you can imagine as a younger man, I may have aired a few times, but I would just say on the radio, these politicians are crooks, they're criminal, and he would, that would stir him up. No. They're not all Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah.
We have honest people around.
We're not, but what happens is that every, just like any group. So if you have one woman that does something, all of a sudden then all women. You have an African American that does something, then all this. And unfortunately, the same. You have us. Elected officials who violate the public trust, then that is on all of us. So unfortunately, that means that we have to do better. So, I released 5 years of my tax returns. I've been always open and honest. You're going to ask about who I am. I've always been honest about that. I'm honest about my work. I'm honest when I agree with you and when I disagree with you. And so some folks make the calculation that, well, for a political end, et cetera, maybe I won't be as transparent, or to get something done, I'll kind of play with the rules. But it's a slippery slope. You just have to commit to holding yourself to a higher standard.
Well, you have
so
a track record,
that.
Unlike some other people. I mean, once you've been involved in service, there's a track record.
I have a track record.
I want to talk about that track record. Here's where it gets tough First of all, I want to correct, it's always great to have staffers in the house who came running up to us at the break and said, it's Mary Washington
for Baltimore.com. Because so, I want to be the mayor, I am Mary Washington for Baltimore.com.
So if you're in your car or you're sitting at home and you're listening to Baltimore Positive and you say, I'm kind of inspired by what I'm hearing from this state senator from the 43rd, it is Mary Washington for Baltimore.com. Now, here's where the questions start to get a little difficult. You've been an outstanding delegate. You've been an outstanding, by all accounts, state senator. Folks out there, they're driving around and they're going, you know, that sounds really good to me. Here's what I hear all the time. Can she run anything?
Yeah.
We've had legislators. What makes me think that another legislator is ready to step in and organize government on day one and make it work?
Because I had a life before I ran for government.
Tell us
about
that.
You asked me that. I didn't start out that, okay, I'm volunteering on this campaign, and then I get promoted, and I, you know, I've had jobs outside of government, and I've had responsibility outside of that. There's two relevant positions. One, I was the housing stat director for 3 years, and from 2002 to 2005. And so Baltimore Housing is one of the largest city agencies. And so my job as the accountability specialist was to track, create performance measures, track those reports, track overtime, see how all the different departments work together.
What did you find in 2003 in that job, in that capacity?
Well, one of the things that I found was this overtime.
Okay.
I found there was a number of things. I found overtime. I found work orders that had just been in drawers and just kind of sitting there. A lot of this dysfunction that is still here. But we also found that when you set supervisory expectations, when people know that every 2 weeks they're going to be held accountable for certain performance outcomes, that they do better. And then also you can't just do this, I gotcha, where, oh, we caught you with fraud, or we caught you doing this. Because sometimes people just didn't get the right training, so the reports weren't right. So you have to discern what is a lack of training, what is the system, what is somebody who's really trying to get away with something and they should be fired. But you can discern that through a risk assessment, through risk management, and what's the likelihood that a particular employee or a particular division is going to be vulnerable for waste, fraud, or abuse. And those are things that we can do. So I have experience with that. Again, part of my sociology is also looking at organizational design and structure. So it's not just from a theoretical perspective. I've
like
actually
that. Waste,
done
fraud,
that.
Abuse. Those are the big three.
Yeah, yeah. Like corruption that. In there, too.
Oh,
yeah,
well, okay,
yeah.
Well.
But, yeah.
That is fraud.
Well, abuse.
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
People are
and
frustrated,
so
Senator. And you talked about
it. Oh, but just
you.
One other.
Go
can
ahead,
I
please.
Tell you?
Oh, absolutely.
So I've had that experience. So I'm not just a legislator, not just a policy person. I've actually worked in government and helped make it work. And then in the nonprofit sector, I was associate director of Parks and People Foundation. And at any point in time, I was managing programs, workforce development programs with 30 adults, after school, green career ladder programs during the summer for 200 young people, and then having to hire 50 people to manage that program, doing contracts and relationships with the federal government and the state government. So I have that personal background. And then on top of that, the 4 years, then as a legislator, 4 years on appropriations, seeing the state budget, see how the state budget affects state, the aid to local institutions, and the access to the aid to Baltimore City, and how Baltimore City's budget is. And then Ways and Means had the taxes, had our election law. And so I've just really been in it in a number of ways that no other candidate. There are good candidates, but they all have a very narrow frame of experience, and I have a very broad frame that is really consistent to the challenges that are before the city.
Well, tell us then, because this is a compelling story. One of the things that Nestor's raised a number of times, and Governor O'Malley sort of threw his hands up as well and said, really frustrating. It appears that at some point in time, we had a city stat, a comp stat, you were part of it,
yes.
Crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. You're describing you were part of it. It was firing on all cylinders. We truly were putting dots on a map and making informed decisions. It seems to have all gone by the wayside. Nestor's question repeatedly is, how did that happen? How do we get away from that?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, different mayors have different priorities. And then this, me, I as mayor, would reinstate that because I believe that we have to use data and information to make better decisions. But also, it's about transparency. If you're open and honest about your workings, how much you're spending, you know, what your labor costs are, your budgeting process, then it's less likely that there can be waste, fraud, and abuse because more eyes are on it. And so you have to be committed to it. We just haven't had
Corruption.
Anyone that's
corruption happens when somebody sees the fraud and doesn't report it.
And
corruption's bigger than fraud. Fraud's
yes.
one person.
Yes.
Corruption.
That's
there
exactly.
we go.
Well, so that's certainly part right in the front page. Front page. They're
I like
connected.
You.
There's a little connection going on here for those of you. Those of you not watching on Facebook.
Of
it's a little love in going on.
You know
on.
What I'm saying? We talk about a hatred of incompetence. You know, that's the part as a city resident, right. You would like to think that 311, that pothole, that someone will care when I pick up the phone.
We got to get the basics right. That
there
is the
go.
Core part of my campaign and why I am just genuinely interested in leading with integrity, getting the basics right so the tax dollars that you are spending, which we spend quite a lot of tax dollars to live in Baltimore, that you are getting the services that you need and that those services are being equitably distributed and not just the ability of one neighborhood to be able to be more, to be louder than the other. Unfortunately, in a dysfunctional system, the squeaky wheel gets the attention rather than the wheel that's most likely to fall off.
You know, that's so true. I remember years ago, this has to be 30 years ago, but it was under Dutch, actually, when Dutch was county executive. And Dutch, in terms of roofs leaking in the school system, and it's very analogous to what you're speaking about. It often, the community that was the loudest, screamed the loudest, the most vociferous PTA would get their roof fixed first. All right, well, let's just... And Dutch finally said, look, we need to do an analysis. We need to prioritize these roofs. Not everybody is going to be happy.
You can't fix roofs on the buddy system.
We ought to show them on a list.
And but that's how we're doing it
now. And then we'll work our way down. Mm-hmm. But let's jump in then, Senator, and let's take some of the really tough issues and have you really address them. I think we all know what they are. What does Mayor Washington do to get the guns off the street? We can't continue to have 350 kids killed every year.
No.
It's about guns. They're on the street.
Yes.
Most of them are illegal. What does Mayor Washington do to get the guns off the street?
Again, we've got to work with trusted partners in the communities that know where these guns are. And again, if we fully implement something like a state a safe streets group violence interruption program, you have those trusted partners who are not perhaps going to immediately report it, but figure out how to get those people in to a place where they can collect those guns and turn them into plowshares.
How confident are you that homicides will go down in your administration?
I'm confident that we're going to address the root causes of violence and murder, and that when you do that and you apply the strategies that are proven and elsewhere, that they will go down. But you can't just have the goal cannot simply be reducing murder. The goal has to be about creating healthy communities, healthy families, safe communities. And when we do all the things to address murder, if we take a murder and we look at all the circumstances around it, so an example, a proposal that I have is that we reinstate the homicide review program, where every homicide was looked at. There was a team of folks that looked at it, a team of investigators, along with the state's attorney, along with behavioral health epidemiologists, and say, okay, here's the epicenter of this homicide, and then what are all the predictors of that? And address everything around it, because if you have a murder here, we know the way it works and the retribution works, that there's going to be a murder there. So that means you get ahead of it and say, what can I do
but
there?
But we're not solving these murders,
there.
Right? We're learning that.
And so, again, solving the murders, building the trust in the communities. I support, we do have legislation in Annapolis now that's looking at witness intimidation. I would support that. We really have people have to be feel protected, and they don't feel that way right now. And so we do need to do more to make sure that those who step up are protected by law and are protected by ourselves.
I was hoping some of our Republican senators would do something about witness intimidation, but you know, that's on another level. You know, we all just smile that away, but we're not explaining that away.
No, we do our best to have a no current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
But no. Every time we bring up something that is just being egregiously flaunted at a federal level, we say, why can't we have nice things here locally?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, an educator like yourself and an educator like schools and what we're doing for schools.
Well, let's talk Kerwin.
Please.
Where are you on Kerwin?
So year after year, mayor after mayor, and actually governor after governor, we have underinvested in our public system. And we found it 2 years ago that we did about to the tune of $3 billion. Not million, but $3 billion. And so as we fell from one to six over the last 8 years, 7 years, we know that we have to invest more in public education. And so the Kerwin Commission for the last 2 years is looking not just on funding, but on our policy. Like, what are we actually doing in the classroom? What are we doing to recruit teachers? What accountability systems do we have that the resource monies are being spent where they need to be spent? And I'm excited that this Kerwin Commission is, you know, I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but it's certainly
David Hornbeck would say that.
Well, you're down
but
there.
We're
going to
say 100, at least every 15 years, at least, and 20 years and two decades, that we have an opportunity to fully fund public education, but also address teacher training, the diversity of teachers, implement the community schools model across the board, which I put the legislation in to say the community school model is a way to address concentrated poverty in our schools, and to treat the whole community, not just the student and just not the classrooms. And we have an opportunity to that. And as mayor, and I know that it's a big ticket item, but we can't afford not to fulfill our Kerwin obligation. And so that would be a priority of mine as mayor, would be to fund Kerwin and to address where there is waste, look at the systems where there is waste in the system so that then we can invest in more. There are lawsuits that the city has to pay out, not just in the police department, but in almost every single division that ends up with millions and millions of dollars, millions of dollars that goes uncollected. That's almost like leaving $50 million in the couch, you know, or on the floor, or letting it go out of the window because you didn't fix the cracked your cracked window. There are the city, the way it's functioning right now under the current administration, which is almost everyone that is currently running for office has been a part of this system, is broken. And we need a clean break from that to doing a new way, an accountable way, leading with integrity and getting the basics right. And to your earlier point of how do we show or how do we get other people to believe in us again, come back in, we got to get it right for ourselves.
We have to fix it
here in Baltimore. And when we fix it in Baltimore for Baltimoreans, then that will set us up for being able to be the model for how do you repair, you know, what is broken for yourself, not because other people are looking. I think that's the wrong place. We have to do it because Baltimoreans deserve the best. They deserve a working government. They deserve a public education system that educates all youth. They deserve to be paid livable wages. They deserve to have their trauma addressed. They deserve to invest in the small, really creative incubators. One of the things we're not doing, we have all these great incubators in Baltimore. They're coming here. They're developing their products. They're figuring out new systems. We don't do anything to keep them here in Baltimore. As mayor, I would keep those, provide incentives to keep those small businesses here. Instead, they go someplace else.
Yeah, we've seen all the Baltimore, and all
that.
So
Mayor Mary Washington is pro-business.
Yes, absolutely.
She's pro-business,
pro-investment. Especially small businesses that are located here and have stuck it out. We do need to recruit new business, but we actually don't do enough to protect our own family, the folks that have been here. And we lose a lot of them, and they've demonstrated a commitment to us even in the worst of times. I will develop a set of incentives that's about how long have you been here and that you've stuck it out and that you're contributing productively to Baltimore City. I want to recruit you and keep you here. That's the same thing with property taxes. We need to incentivize and reward people that have stuck it out in addition to recruiting new people.
I pay my taxes 17 years running.
Absolutely, and we need to figure that out. We have a crisis coming up soon is that there are these 10-year historic tax credits that are getting ready to expire, and people are going to go from paying, you know, 8,000, so probably around $7,000 in taxes, or $3,000 in taxes, to paying twice that. And so that's on the horizon. So we need to think about how we're going to address that. But funding education, making sure people, getting the basics right, making sure that our communities are safe and that people who break the law are held accountable, but at the same time providing the systems in place that people need to live healthy, equitable lives with great food, great parks, great sports teams,
great arts,
and great arts and music, and we have all of the combinations. We do. We have all of that.
We are sitting with State Senator Mary Washington. As I said, she wants a job change. She wants to be your mayor. We've had Senate President Bill Ferguson. We've had Speaker Adrian Jones. We've had Delegate Maggie McIntosh.
Great
I know
people.
A close friend of yours. All great people. And now we have you singing the praises of Kerwin. Nestor and I have been on the Kerwin train from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the
Hornbeck
governor
taught us right.
Here's what David Hornbeck taught us right. Here's,
I know David.
Here's what the governor would say. You all talk a good game. Everybody's for education. Even in the proposal he would say that you all put forward last week, you still don't talk about how you're going to pay for it. So what do you say? Assuming that the governor and his team are secretly listening to us now, what do you say when he says, you don't tell us how you're going to pay for it?
Well, we've got to pay for it. I mean, and we're figuring that out. And I know that we will have a plan that at least for the first 4 years of the funding is figured out. We have to look at revenue that we could generate from other sources. There's a number of ideas about that. We also have
to look at, frankly... That's what so many states have looked toward, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's not the...
When gambling hasn't worked.
Right.
The next thing.
So that is absolutely on the table. There's a number of things on the table. But we also, frankly, have to look at where tax credits. There's some places where... There are industries that are already well established, and we're still subsidizing them. We really have to look at the full
picture. Let me ask you about Johns Hopkins, because through this educational experience, and my wife has survived twice at Hopkins, they've saved her life twice, I've been kind of blown away, not just Hopkins, but how many businesses reside on land and don't do what you and I do.
I absolutely, that has to be looked at. And so as mayor, I would talk to all of our nonprofits that are not currently contributing as much as you and I are to say, hey, we've got this bill. What can you do to pitch in? You've got a $156 million tax bill, and you're just paying, you know, a small proportion of that. You know, could during this period while we're implementing Kerwin, and you certainly have an investment in making sure that we have an educated workforce, you use the roads, you use the police force, you use all the utilities, and yet you don't
pay.
We're
all socialists.
And so, well, it's about paying their fair share. I don't know. What could be more?
The electricity and the lights are working out on the
street. But that's how it is.
Right?
But that's what it's got. I mean, it's... That's what you rely on shared infrastructure to do. And so if everybody that benefits from the shared infrastructure, if some portion of that is not... I had an uncle. He would show up, right? My father's got six kids. We'd have a big family dinner. We'd go out to a restaurant someplace. My uncle would show up. He'd bring a couple people. You turn around to pay the bill. He'd leave. He's gone. I loved my uncle, but he would do that every freaking time. Now, he's a family.
We all know someone like that.
But one time, my dad did say, hey, look, you know, I really need you to start. And it was kind of embarrassing at first. And then my uncle was just like, all right. But he was basically waiting for somebody to call him out.
Right. Well, here comes the $10 bill.
Well,
you know,
you pay four,
I'll pay two.
Yeah. So I don't think it's unreasonable. It's not about violating the contract.
Sure.
It's really about, hey, when we made this deal under the former three administrations ago, this is where we were. We're not there today. You know, your peers in other institutions, your peers in other states and other cities are paying a little higher rate, you know, than you are. You need to kick in. And I think I actually think that people will step up. That would be my expectation.
Well, before we jump to the election, and again, a couple of questions before we let you run to your next. And one thing, when you're running for mayor and being a state legislator, there's 24 hours isn't enough, right?
She's going to be late for the next.
Yeah, I know. It's not quite enough. Well, we'll do this quickly. Can't talk about crime and all these issues that you've alluded to and building communities without talking about opioids.
Yes.
Crisis in the nation, crisis in our city. What does Mayor Washington do to address the opioid crisis?
And as I talked about, we need every opportunity where either law enforcement or behavioral health specialists can interact with somebody to have that be an opportunity for recovery. And so you remember I talked earlier about having stations throughout the city. Some people talk about it being safe use sites. It's not about promoting drug addiction. It's about providing a place where somebody can get some services so that maybe they can get off the drugs and we can reduce the stigma. And so if folks were able to just walk in to these behavioral health counseling centers without an appointment, you know, they may have hit the bottom, you know, a few hours, but if they have to like make a call and they have to like set an appointment, by the time they get that appointment, right. They would have found another fix. But if it can be advertised that come in, no questions asked, you know, you can get the support you need, then we
treatment
can really start
on demand,
to turn.
Right?
Absolutely.
Where's the state involvement with that? Because we hear so much, not
that.
Just, you know, people being let out of the system and brought back to the streets, that the state is involved in that. Where is the state in mental health and addiction? And last I checked, and I keep reminding Larry, Baltimore is in Maryland.
Yes,
right?
we are.
We are.
We are. We're Baltimore,
absolutely.
Maryland.
You remind him. Let him know when you see
him.
I
am. We are Baltimore, Maryland. Yes. Maryland. Yeah.
Maryland.
Okay. So sorry.
Not Washington,
I had to do that.
But she is.
And it is Mary Washington for
Baltimore.com. But it's interesting because we have to sort of reestablish what is the role of the state, because a lot of these providers of behavioral health services used to be the state, right? Just almost solely the state. And then with the expansion of treatment on demand, you have other, frankly, for-profit entities coming in and being part of that business. And it's been difficult to reestablish exactly what the role of the state is in regulating the placement of these facilities and their accountability. In fact, that's something I've been working with some of my colleagues on, is that there's really not a lot of rules about the quality of the treatment, about what types of services are provided. I mean, we expanded its delivery, but we really haven't focused on the quality of that delivery.
Well, the privatization would also involve the insurance companies, and that's when we get on a very, very slippery slope to getting
with big pharma,
a good outcome
versus
a profitable outcome.
Exactly.
Well, we never had a meeting.
Exactly.
We never brought the experts together in Baltimore County to discuss this issue, where the number one item on the agenda every time was, if you want to get serious, treatment on demand.
Yeah.
Treatment on demand. Mm-hmm. And we talked earlier in an earlier episode, I applaud Baltimore County Executive Bushevsky because he's taking a serious look at some of the zoning laws in Baltimore County, for example, have to be changed. We've got to have more residential facilities in our neighborhoods, closer to our neighborhoods.
And Baltimore is disproportionately bearing the responsibility for providing treatment because our surrounding jurisdictions have, through their zoning laws, have made it so that these operators aren't able to operate, and they are operating in our city, but in much greater numbers than the need is. And so we're providing services for the county. So people are coming in from other counties into Baltimore, and then there are just some commercial corridors that are just, you know, treatment facility, treatment facility, treatment facility, and then there's like a liquor store, and then it makes them much more vulnerable to those who would take advantage of their addiction.
Proximity is power, right?
It's not fair, and it's not
and
effective.
And so I'm happy to hear that they're looking at removing the zoning barriers.
I really applaud the exec for doing that.
But we got to get at the quality. The state, we need to figure that out.
I do want to make a connection, and we're going to end in a minute or two. We're going to ask you how you're going to win, because that's what matters. As James Carville, like I say, nothing else matters. You got to win, and then you can become the mayor and make a difference. But you have been, and I think there is a connection to the national scene, you've been very open from the beginning about your sexuality. Delegate McIntosh, the same way. Now we have a mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, being very open about his, going neck and neck in New Hampshire with Bernie Sanders. I want to know what you've experienced in the community as a result of that openness. And here's where I go with that. I'm always skeptical of what we call common knowledge, or what the national pundits will say. Because I hear all the time, particularly in the African-American community, African-Americans won't support someone of the LGBTQ community. They just won't. And I'm thinking, well, they've supported you. They've supported Delegate McIntosh.
Yes.
I'm not sure That's true. So I wonder if you can, for those listening, we've got members of that community driving in our car. I think they're always empowered by hearing folks who are comfortable in their sexuality. So talk about
that
issue.
If you want to find the most trustworthy politician, it's a politician that's out. A politician who's open and honest about this most personal thing in their lives, where they know that there could be bias. You know that you could potentially lose votes. You know that people might have some attitudes about who you are. But you can trust that I'm going to be honest because I'm being honest and open about who I am. And so my work, so I'm judged and evaluated based on the work that I've done. But I also say, again, if you're looking for an elected official that is going to be honest and lead with integrity, then somebody who's being honest about that, you know, about who I am, then I'm, again, I'm your candidate. And it's about talking with people and folks. It's again,
how
my experience
received,
has been that
though,
way.
But walk us through, and that was a, I thought, really an
well, she's won anyway.
Analysis.
Let's start with that.
Well, I was going
right?
to say,
no matter what,
but,
you've won, right?
Yes, you've won. How have you been received in your community, in the mm-hmm. African American community, in mm-hmm. the churches, mm-hmm. in the community?
Well, you're going to see today. Yeah. I released a series of endorsements where quite a number of reverends have endorsed me. It's really about the work that I do. You know, it's
probably
really
something you
about
might not have envisioned
am.
When you were a 16-year-old girl in Philadelphia. Right?
Yeah, no. Well, actually, I was out when I was.
No, but no. That a minister in 2020.
Well,
Would check off on a candidacy of yours politically, right?
Well, again, I guess what I'm saying is that I've been fortunate. Not everybody has been this fortunate, but I have been fortunate in my life, in my career, that I'm definitely aware that maybe I've been discriminated against, or the opportunities have not been as great as if I were not out. But I also have found that people genuinely appreciate the honesty. They genuinely appreciate the work and the fact that I've helped people not lose their homes for tax sales. That it didn't matter to me whether it was a church or a senior citizen or whether it was a mosque. That I treat everybody fairly and equally under the law. And that has been my personal experience, and I've been fortunate with that, and I continue to lead and trust with that.
So that really is, and I thank you for sharing that, because what I would say to folks then is beware of national stereotypes when folks tell you African-American voters will or African-American voters won't.
Right.
Because when you cut to the chase, perhaps African-American voters are just like every other voter.
Yeah,
smart
just like,
enough to sort
or
it.
Or Catholics. Or you know,
Catholics
they'd say, you know, they do the similar polls. If you poll Catholics, they may not support abortion for themselves. But if you ask a different question, well, would you say that someone else shouldn't have that right? You know, increasingly, people are saying, well, that's their life. They have a decision that they can make. And it's changing over time. And more, I think more people are focused, these wedge issues that have divided us. And frankly, I'm not naive. They continue to divide us, and people may try to use this. But I think increasingly, the voters are really aware that, hey, I want somebody who shows up every day. I want somebody that has a track record of getting jobs for young people. I want somebody that I can trust. I want somebody that has a vision for my city. And I don't care, you know, who they go to a home at night.
Okay, let's get to it.
How do you
win?
A
couple minutes left. How do you win? I'm sitting out there. I'm in my car right now. I'm saying, man, State Senator Mary Washington from the 43rd District, Mary Washington for Baltimore.com. She sounds pretty darn good. How do you win this thing?
With your help.
Well, you talked to her. You got a couple minutes before
vote.
You go
your
talk
vote.
To
her. Go to MaryWashingtonForBaltimore.com and knock on doors with us. Have a house party with us. Help us raise money. Help us excite people about that there
house
can
party.
Be change.
House party? I want to run for mayor if we're going to have a house party. That sounds like fun.
Yes.
How do you feel
and,
at
you
this
know,
point?
I feel really good, and thank you. I really enjoyed
this
opportunity.
This is kind of an open race, right?
It is.
I think for everybody, as we get closer to it, yourself, all of the candidates, and you're the fifth, sixth, seventh, we've had a lot of the candidates on that, you know, people are talking, and I think there's going to be palpable buzz
leading
up to this
through
looking, the spring, right?
And they're looking for something different. They're looking for change. We're the change campaign. Again, we're not connected to any of the current dysfunction, past or present or recent. If folks want to, we know we can't have another set or anyone that's tied to any kind of corruption or dysfunction in our city. We really can't afford that. But more importantly, I'm not just talking about what I'm not, but I'm offering a vision, I'm offering experience, integrity, a commitment and belief in our city that our best assets are the people of Baltimore, and I truly believe that. And to have a mayor that is unapologetically believes in its people and our future is something we haven't had for a very long time, and I want to offer that. And if you believe in that, join me, MaryWashingtonForBaltimore.com, and click, and we can do this together.
What a terrific discussion. Senator, thank you. I hope you will come back.
I will. You're I will.
Man, she talked so much she didn't get to finish her espresso here at State Fair. Appreciate Senator Mary Washington, mayoral candidate. The election is April 28th, but the 16th is when the early election stuff begins. Appreciate
Nestor,
everybody out there with Baltimore Positive.
Democracy is not
a spectator sport. You get involved. That's what I'm doing. That's why we're here. Find
we
me at
you.
WNST.net and at Baltimore Positive. We're going to continue on with more mayor conversations and conversations about making Baltimore better. We're at State Fair. We're at Baltimore Positive and WNSD.net, AM 15.